Joining us on the line now is actor, comedian and writer Kulvinder Gir, one of the cast members of the BBC sketch show Goodness Gracious Me, which ran from 1998 to 2015. He'll be appearing with some of the other cast members at this year's Desi Blitz Literary Festival in Birmingham to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the show. Welcome to the show, Kulvinder.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us. It's great to have you with us. And full disclosure, I have to say immediately that every time over the last 25 years that my father and I have either gone to an Indian restaurant or thought about going to an Indian restaurant, one of us, I'm not going to embarrass myself or you by trying to do the accent, but one of us has said, I want the blandest thing on the menu. That sketch was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
It must have been a wonderful thing to be involved with.
Very much so. I mean, it's the one that turns the tables in that respect, going out for an English. It just tells you at that particular time where we were within the culture and the identity of knowing. Most definitely was a fantastic time.
Yeah. And I mean, it must have been great fun coming up with that sketch, all the different lines and trying to make the comparisons and similarities and imagine what it would have been like in that situation.
That's right. I mean, it was very knowing, and it was the timing on something for that program for us to do that. The timing to tell that story was perfect. You know, it was kind of, as a culture, you're just sort of boiling up and saying, wait on, let's turn the tables here and let's make it, you know, what would it be like if we actually went out for an English? And it tells you about the cuisine that the English was, where the English cuisine was at the time and where we were with our cuisine and as for the curries. And it was the number one British food at that time, the Indian cuisine. But I think what was true about at that time was that here we became a celebration of humour, a very British humour, where a new generation had sort of come and been here, and with the irony of the British humour, we could start telling our stories. So it was a very important time, because it has sort of boiled up through the years and saying, wait on, we were consistently put in the ideas of controversy, yeah. But there was nothing, a kind of a joy of our humour and our culture as well.
Absolutely. And do you think comedy has changed a lot since then? I mean, if the show was to be made today, do you think that the same kind of sketches would be made, or would it be very different?
Hopefully different, you know. But then again, what's really we hit with that show is quite universal. Mm. And people are enjoying that show today as much as they enjoyed it then. We've got a new generation that's picking it up. When things are funny, they're funny, you know. And what was really noticeable about that particular time was that people were laughing with us, not at us.
Yeah.
And we were at the same time new about the different, what we could see within our own culture that we could look at and enjoy the humor of that culture. It was a lovely crucible in one sense, where everyone was put into that pot. And there were stories from our parents and the migrants that came over and sharing that, creating that bridge.
Yeah.
And understanding of each other's humour, I think. And as you know, in today's day and age, it's so much important, especially what's happening around the world at the moment. It's something that brought us together and an understanding. When you get a show when people are talking about it in your school, in the playground, mm-hmm. And sharing, you really hit a good thing.
Yeah.
With this show, I thought.
And I mean, do you think it's a shame how people have to be more careful these days? There seems to be so much offence taken at things, and I really do feel for comedians and comedy script writers, because people are so easily offended at things, even if they're people are talking about a topic that doesn't affect them or a member of their family directly. They seem to be ready to stand up. Oh, you can't say that. That's not right. That's not politically correct. And it seems comedy is kind of, I don't know, you have to be too careful these days.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we have to be sensitive. You know, sometimes there is very dark comedy. It can be very cutting. It can be very hurtful. But then again, if it's coming from the, and if it's sincere and it's truthful, then I feel, you know, you can have comedy that can be shared. But at the same time, I think we have to be sensitive. When we made that program, we were very much aware of the environment that was around us. But you shouldn't be frightened of comedy, but I think at the same time, you have to be very much aware of the different communities, because the world has grown that little bit smaller. But that's a good thing. You know, it allows us to communicate. And with comedy, you have to push those boundaries as well. If it's done rightfully and carefully, I think it can be enjoyed as a whole, within the human race, or what, you know, however you can look at it. You don't see, it's quite like when you have kids. When I have my own, talk to my kids about humor, because both of them are quite kind of involved in this line of work as well.
Oh, nice. So
it's like they're consistently pushing that boundary because of the friends they make, the communication that they have. But if it's coming from the right place and we can laugh together, then I think it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you ever, were you aware at the time when Goodness Gracious Me was a big hit on TV, were there people in your community who were offended? Were people thinking, oh, they can't take the mickey out of us, or things like this? Were people offended, or did everybody able to see the humour in what you were doing?
The joy was when your own community embraced the programme. Mm. You know, yes, of course, you did have a minority who said, wait on, you can't say that. But there was a lack of understanding in that as well, especially on the older Asian generation, because they came from a place where there wasn't irony or sarcasm or tongue-in-cheek within their own humor, within their own culture. So sometimes you don't like to explain a gag, but in that, some cases, you had to. And then hence explaining it, I remember when somebody was there, oh, you shouldn't have told him about that one. I said, listen, I'm in a place where I actually want to open the doors, take that roof off, you know, and let people in and enjoy our culture. And once they start understanding there's nothing to be ashamed of and nothing to hide, then they got on board with you. But there was never an idea to offend. There was always an idea to laugh together. And we used to say to ourselves, if we have offended anyone, please forgive us. You know, it wasn't. We just want to have fun. We just want to enjoy humor.
Yeah.
So once I tried, you know, when my mum used to watch the program, she got it. And she's 82 now. And even the Asian guy down the road, of a particular age, he got it. Because another thing was that with the empire itself and with colonialism, there was the language had traveled, the British language itself, and the British sense of humor a bit. And when we went to do the specials in India, and when he went out in India, they got it. You know, they understood. But because it is the story of the migrant as well.
Yeah.
And so it's an experience. And I think it was genuinely enough where we were coming from. And it needed it at that particular time of telling these stories.
Yeah. And were you aware, did you really feel at the time that you were kind of breaking down barriers and bringing communities and people of different backgrounds together?
With anything like that, not at first. You're amongst yourself in that rehearsal room, improvising and playing and developing. I think what the fortunate thing happened for us as well, we started off in the radio first, on a literal sense. We were trying out, like the Goons were, we were doing them live shows because the BBC at that particular time decided to go back to doing to develop comedy that way. So once the and our main audience were at that time a Radio 4 sort of channel, Radio 4 sort of blue rinse, particular age between 40 and 70, who were really enjoying that show. It's only when it came onto the television, on a visual sense, that's when our community in that respect picked it up. So didn't have a clue, really. Mm-hmm. But what was really important was the fun that we were having making the show. And I think that comes across, and really enjoying that humor. And then when the reaction came back, you went, oh, okay. I don't think even the BBC knew. Even John Plowman at that time was thinking, are Asians funny? He didn't know. So you can see how naive he was. So we really threw it out there and say, okay, let's see how it lands.
Yeah.
And the joy was, for me, the most important thing was that our community picked it up and they embraced it. Then it went into the masses, where they kind of went into the mainstream. And I think that was one of the first programs on a cultural basis were hitting mainstream. That was, people were all laughing together and enjoying the humor.
Yeah.
It wasn't specifically for one community. And it became, I think it became such a, it became a British product, I believe, you know. At one time, I remember I was out in Australia and I bumped into Wazeen Akram. And he looked and he goes, oh, I've got to talk to you. I've got to, come here, come here. And he says, are you the guy of Goodness Gracious Me? I said, yeah. He said, do you know we have private parties in Pakistan listening to the program? And you go, wow, okay. So, you know, how that program slowly starts to spread and people could relate to it, it became like not just, it wasn't just in this country. Mm. It just didn't belong here. It started to belong everywhere, different parts of the world. Because that was the immigrant's experience. That was it, you know, it was a cultural joy to laugh together.
Brilliant. And was it fun being a superhero, Bangra Man?
Again, you know, we were looking to say, God, you know, why isn't there an Asian superhero? And then you say, oh, why don't we invent one like Bangra Man? And I said, what's his? We were going through, what's his powers? He says, it's Bangra. That's how he does it. You know, he dances. He dances through everything. He dances through rescuing people. He dances through pulling down buildings. And the second joy was, the trouble was that he didn't speak English. He only knew Punjabi. And I said, what's the most important thing after you've been to a Bangra do you would like? You would like a masala wali cha, you know?
Oh, so fabulous.
No,
I was just going to say, you must have had, all of you had so much fun doing this. I mean, coming up with silly ideas and then going, yeah, let's run with that.
That's it. You know, one thing is I'm always trying to do within our work, because when you write, is to make, it doesn't, if you can make writing that's understandable, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in language, and it can be emotionally run, people will, you trust it a little bit. And I think people would pick that up. And that's why I think that's what we were doing within that program as well. When we were writing it, it was not to be scared of your own culture either. You know, within that language, and if something needed to be done in Hindi or Punjabi or in Urdu, we felt, yeah, why not? Let's try that.
Yeah. And I have to ask you about something completely different, going back quite a few years now. You were one of three teenagers chosen to ask a question to Gerry Anderson about his animation techniques, weren't you?
Yes, I mean, I was 14, I think, 14, 15, on the Extraordinary People show. And again, I was at school and they picked you out of school to say, would you like to go and meet Gerry Anderson, who made Thunderbirds at that particular time? And even then, my interest was, you know, I think the question I asked was, how did you find the character of Parker? And he told me that story. That was one of the questions. And at the same time, I did another one at that particular time with the Book Tower, where I got a chance to meet Tom Baker. Mm. So, I mean, for me, as a career, I've been doing this since the age of 11, where I kicked off doing impressions over at City Varieties in Leeds, doing the talent competitions. So it's just been a joy.
Yeah.
And now, you know, to celebrate, goodness gracious me, after 25 years over and it's great to go to Birmingham. That's when we've been called over in the Desi Blitz to celebrate this with Nina, and hopefully the other two guys can make it as well, you know.
Oh, fantastic. So what can people expect from you all at the festival?
Well, you know, it's going to be a question and answer. And at the same time, again, I think talking about the program, how it was made, the joy of celebrating humor. I think they might be showing a couple of clips from the program itself. But it's in the ether. I always think that's important. It's live. So anything is possible. You know, on that evening, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I haven't seen Nina for a while. I know that, and Sanjeev Kohli is one of the writers who was on the program. So when we get on that stage, I think there's always fun to be had.
Yeah, great stuff. And I know you're not necessarily going to know what clips they're going to play, but if you had to select a few clips or a few scenes from over the years, what ones would you pick out?
Do you know, there's always the ones, you know, as you was thinking, you know, going for an English or the Coopers or Bangra Man. But I've really enjoyed with Dave Lamb. We used to do this Bob Nonks. He used to do this Bob Nonks character, and Mr. Ishart, who was just an ordinary individual who just didn't have to say much, but within himself said everything. I would love to see those interviews that Bob Nonks, the character that Dave Lamb does, on the screen there, because I think it's. There's a simplicity about those little sketches, those little minuet sketches that we did. And it's kind of, it breaks down those barriers of kind of stereotypes. And that's a lovely character, which is sort of invented, you know, from doing one sketch. And then we ended up saying, oh, let's make another sketch about Mr. Ishak, where he would be. And when we went to India, he turned up there, and he actually thought that Bob Nonks was Mark Tully. <You know? So laughs> he said, oh, is this the BBC? Is it Mark Tully? And he was very disappointed when he found out it wasn't the BBC and he wasn't Mark Tully. You know?
Oh, lovely. Well, if people want to go to see you all at the Desi Blitz Literary Festival, it's in Birmingham from the 20th to the 28th. I know you guys are getting together on stage on the 20th. People can get tickets from the website, desiblitz.com. There's lots of events happening throughout the festival. I had the founder of the festival on my show, Indy Deal, a couple of weeks ago, so it was great to chat to him. And it's been an absolute joy to chat with you, Colvin De Geer. Thank you so much for joining us on Talk Radio Europe.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.